We're coming to you live from Southern California. Welcome to the Bible and Chaman broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. And as always, we're delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today and invite you to join us on air with your question in the U.S. or Canada by simply dialing 888-275-4265. It translates into 888-ASK-HANK. Our address, the Christian Research Institute, Box 7000, Rancho Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. Our telephone number 714-858-6100. And do remember, if you're ordering materials or making donations using Visa, MasterCard, or the Discover card with a special toll-free line dedicated to you, the number 888-7000-CRI. You can also catch us on the internet at address www.equip.org. Well, I mentioned yesterday that Joseph Bekach was going to drop by for a visit with all of you out there by joining me in studio today. He brought by another good friend, Greg Albrecht, who is the editor-in-chief of Plain Truth Ministry. In fact, do you have a different title, Greg, or is that the right
title? That's
still the right title.
I'll be right back.
And both of them are dear friends and people that I have not only grown to love, but people that I've grown to respect. And as always, it is a delight to have you, Joe, and you, Greg, in studio with me.
Thank you, Hank. We always enjoy your invitation.
You have gone through a journey that very few people have ever dreamt about, and that is a journey that has taken you from positions that were clearly aberrant to positions that are within the pale of orthodoxy. And as we're discussing over lunch today, many organizations devolve. They go from solid evangelical core beliefs to eventually liberal doctrines, and that's the typical progression of most organizations, so that the founding fathers oftentimes look at those organizations and say, my goodness, how could that organization that started so right go so wrong? You've done exactly the opposite, and that has taken a great deal of courage, discipline, commitment, and you are to be commended for that. And I as one, am so thankful for the example that you're setting, not only for your immediate church family, but for many others as well.
Thank you, Hank. All the glory and credit goes to God. Sometimes I wonder, boy, why did he put his finger on me to be the one in this position at this time? But that's not for me to question. I just want to seek his will and fulfill it. And I think there's a certain irony in what you say, because it is absolutely true. We have decided, with God's help, to swim against the tide and not devolve. But the sad irony is that a lot of the people that no longer attend with us have just the opposite view. Rather than seeing us become more conservative in doctrine, they mistakenly and misperceive it to be going the other direction.
In other words, becoming liberal.
Yes. Uh-huh. And thinking that we're the ones who have gone apostate, and there is even a group that think we have become demon-possessed in embracing the more orthodox teachings.
Yeah.
And that's difficult to put up with, because some of them are friends that I met at high school.
And in many ways, though, the thing that I have appreciated about you on a personal level is that you are able to step out of the position that you are in today and say, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I, so that you're not in a position of simply castigating those people, but reaching out to those people in love, recognizing that they need the same kind of input that you have been so privileged to get.
Absolutely true. I have, in my sermons, in our churches, in some of the things I've written and communicated to our people, I've said what we need to do is remember our part of our Christian walk is to be a prayer warrior. We ought to be praying for those people and ask that God, in his mercy and wisdom, use us with whatever facility of words, whatever relationship we have, to help reach out to those people and pray that God would intervene and remove that veil of blindness. For some people, it seems to be thicker than a veil. It's more like a welder's mask, and that takes God's intervention to remove it.
Joe, what do you say to people that would still hold the notion that what you're doing is simply window dressing, and that it is, in fact, expedient to do what you're doing, as opposed to those that really know the truth, that what you have done is taken a courageous step to abide
by truth, and that you are now willing to make reason and scripture your guide. In other words, if someone can explain by way of reason based on scripture as the final court of arbitration, your position is going to change. And yet, even with that, we ought to throw in rather rapidly the fact that you have an enormous tactical issue that you're facing, which few people can identify with because they've never dealt with the magnitude of an organization that you're dealing with.
That's correct. It's a phenomenon of misperception that can hold people in error for an indeterminate length of time. I don't know if you've ever heard the true story about the fellow who was working for a railroad and mistakenly got locked into a refrigeration car. And he didn't know that the refrigeration unit was broken, but he misperceived that he was going to freeze to death in this refrigeration car because he was locked inside. And the fact is, he spent the night in there and died. And the refrigeration unit was broken. It was normal temperature. His thoughts actually killed him because he misperceived so badly. And we have people who are, if you will, in a prison by their own misperception. And when people say that this is just window dressing, I point to several things. One, as a church denomination, we have lost $100 million in income. If this was just window dressing, I would submit that that is the stupidest window dressing you could put on. To make changes, it would cause you to lose $100 million. We've lost half of our membership over making these changes. The majority of those don't attend anywhere. They just stay at home in confusion. I've had to endure a real beating in the internet, the press, the bloomer mill. Not to say that I'm not a sinner. Just like we all are sinners. But some of the charges, some of the innuendo, some of the character assassination that takes place is incredible, to the extent that I've had people write to me saying they want to kill me. I've had doctors call from mental health clinics saying, I've got a patient in here who wants to come out and shoot you. I've had people visit from some of our splinter groups in our church and after services come up to me and say, if I could, I would kill you. These changes are not just mere window dressing. We've paid some high prices to make these changes.
And I can concur with that because I've caught a little bit of the residual effect. There have been people, as you well know, that have accused me since I've given you a form on the Bible Instagram broadcast of laundering money with you. And there have been people that have claimed that my children are demon-possessed and all those sorts of things. So I just can identify with that from just the residual kind of effects. But talk to people about the joy for a moment.
Oh,
standing for truth.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that motivates me, my passion, is now to look to the eternal, not just to the temporal and the current and the physical. And, we're laying up treasures in heaven, as Christ taught. And that's more important to me now. And some of the changes that have happened are just simply remarkable. And let me illustrate it by giving this as an example. In the Worldwide Church of God, we used to teach that when you pray, you only pray alone. And building on one of the teachings of Christ where you go into your closet and you pray. Certainly that's the right thing to do, to go in and pray and have prayer time alone with God. But in teaching that, it was emphasized so strongly that it was ridiculed to ever pray in a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Worldwide Church of God, in our culture, we rarely could pray in a group. About the only time that would happen would be when someone was sick and asking for the elders to anoint them. Other than that, you just wouldn't find small prayer groups and people, Christians, getting together praying together. So in the last 2 years, we have gone from having zero prayer together in groups to now we have 1,100 small prayer groups in our congregation. And that is so remarkable to me, just to consider that we went from zero to over 1,100 in just 2 years' time. And what that's done is it extended a prayer covering, if you will, kind of bathes our church in prayer. And we've seen some remarkable miracles occur, some remarkable healings that even the doctor can't explain. One fellow driving on the freeway was shot 8 times by gang members who just didn't even know him. Just pulled alongside, pulled out a 45 pistol and shot him 8 times. And this fellow went to the hospital. It's a kind of a coincidence of miracles, if you will. He never lost control of the car. He had bullets through his abdomen, through his shoulder, through his thigh, and pulled off the freeway, pulled into a gas station, and got out of the car. And just then, an ambulance happened to drive up. He got in the ambulance, was taken to the hospital, and it was a crowded emergency room, and he didn't know when he was going to be seen. And just then, a nurse walked by who happened to be a church member and got him in right away. And there was only one bullet that had to be removed. All the rest passed cleanly through. No bones were broken. No organs were touched. And within 2 months, this guy was giving a testimony in church. Walking, no bandages, returned to work, and his testimony is interesting. He says, "I am now a deeply religious man." So we've seen those kinds of miracles. We've seen a people movement occur in Angola, where we now have nearly 13,000 members in our church. And 2 years ago, we didn't have any. So I see God is merciful, and the Holy Spirit is moving among our people. Those are joyful things to behold, and they far, far outweigh the death threats and the negative rumors.
I tell you, I have had the opportunity to see the consistency of your walk now for some 3 years, as we were reminiscing earlier on before we went on the air. And one of the things that I have delighted in is the grace with which you have been able to deal with the fire. And you have some great people around you as well. Greg Albrecht, you are a friend and a joy to be around. I have enjoyed just giving you hugs because of the strong bond that we've been able to share in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you are trusting 100%.
Amen. It's a pleasure to be back, and great to see you again. And I should just tell the listeners that Hank has invited me to play golf with him sometime because he needs some lessons.
That was a different Greg.
I'm sorry.
I think his last name was Norman.
Well, I've got a hat that kind of looks like Greg Norman. But, you know, I'd just like to add to what Joe was saying. I had to step out for a while when Joe was talking about the refrigeration car. I got kind of cold and had to go get my coat. He was so descriptive. But, you know, when you ask about praying, and we were talking about praying, maybe Joe brought the topic up about praying. Last time we were on your program, which is the first time, you asked me, you may not remember, but to pray. And pray for not only our fellowship, but those who have left and those who worldwide are afflicted by cultic teaching, deception of some sort. And as you did, and as I started to pray, it flashed through my mind, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who know me who are going to say, "You fool, for praying on the radio. Don't you know you should only be praying in private?" And indeed, after that program, I got letters who said, "How could you embarrass yourself by praying on the radio like that?" And this is, I think, part of, it's not just the hurt, but the joy. The joy is, as I've often said, it's like the Philip Yancey book, "The Jesus I Never Knew." We did teach, and we did know a lot about Jesus. But it is my firm conviction that we, at least me, did not know Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus who is Lord and Savior. And when you come to know him, you have a joy which is unparalleled. You have him. You have eternal life. You have all that matters. Now, you can't, as we all know, go and tell somebody else about that if they don't want to hear. They will take it as foolishness. They will, as in our fellowship, some who have left have said, "What's all this Jesus stuff that you're talking about?" That's where it will register. The Apostle Paul had some things to say about that. To the Jews, it's foolishness. To the, how to go, I forget exactly now.
You're right on track.
So Jesus is going to be a foolish kind of an idea. And what is all this Jesus stuff? Well, that is the name of the game. That's the bottom line of the gospel. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what has happened in our lives. And that's what we tell people about.
So many people have a hard time, Greg, relating to the fact that an organization can make a change, and yet organizations are just people, and Christ, again,
the business of changing the hearts of people, and those changes are permanent changes. They start at the moment of conversion, and they stretch on throughout the eons of time.
Yeah.
You're involved with a magazine, and I remember many years ago now, probably two or three, when you were talking about what do we do with this magazine, and you've taken that magazine and used it as a harbinger of truth.
The Plain Truth magazine, thank you for allowing me to get a plug in here for The Plain Truth. The Plain Truth is the same name as it used to be, but whether you like it or whether you don't like it, when you pick up The Plain Truth, you know it's not the same magazine. It is a magazine that exists to do one thing, and that is proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do that through illustrating the lives of Christians who are making a difference for the kingdom. We do that through sharing the gospel through known and unknown Christians. And in fact, we have an article that's an expose, I might mention to the listeners here, and you're going to find out who the real Hank Hanegraaff, the plain truth about Hank Hanegraaff, coming for the March, April issue. And so if you listeners want to get that, you'll want to get the plain truth.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one myself. You know, we're almost out of time for this segment of the Bible Engineering broadcast, but those who have just tuned in ought to know that in the studio we have Greg Albrecht, who is the editor-in-chief. I don't know if that's the right title. Maybe we can clarify that after we get off the air here. But he is leading the Plain Truth magazine. And then we have Pastor General Joseph Picacci, the Worldwide Church of God, in studio today. And we look forward to taking your calls right here on the Bible Internet broadcast when we come back to the station break.
Well, I'm sure you've all heard by now that Christians are simply supposed to love one another and be united together in faith. Should we therefore regard as divisive those Christians who speak out against teachings in the church which are clearly unbiblical? The CRI Perspective in a moment.
CRI Perspective is presented by the Christian Research Institute. The purpose of these broadcasts is to provide spiritually based, well-researched answers to questions and concepts that challenge biblical Christianity. And now for today's perspective, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
I can tell you firsthand that it is no joy to be labeled a heresy hunter. Yet, as Paul instructed Timothy, we are to zealously guard the purity of the message God has entrusted to us, and for good reason. We read in such passages as Acts 20 and 2 Peter 2 that false teachers will arise, bringing with them destructive heresies, distorting the truth, and destroying the faith of some. Moreover, it is clear that these teachers will come not only from outside, but also from within the body of Christ as well. It is therefore imperative that we test all things by Scripture. It was in this spirit that the Bereans examined the words of the Apostle Paul, for which they were reckoned as noble in character. Indeed, not only can the Bible be used for preaching, teaching, and encouragement, but it is equally valuable for correcting and rebuking. As a matter of fact, we as Christians are held accountable for proclaiming the whole will of God, warning others of false teachings. This is not merely a suggestion. It is, in fact, a divine mandate. Of course, if heresies are coming from teachers within the church, we ought to try to approach them first with our concerns. Should that fail to resolve the problem, we are told in Matthew 18 to expose their errors to the church and, if need be, divulge their names. We would therefore do well to heed Scripture's explicit warnings to be on guard for false teachings and to point them out to brothers and sisters in Christ. At CRI, it is not a practice to make an issue out of peripheral matters on which honest Christians can differ. However, we are committed to exposing those who would compromise the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Remember, controversy for the sake of controversy is sin, but controversy for the sake of the truth is a divine command. On responding to unbiblical doctrines, that's the CRI Perspective. I'm Hank Hanegraaff.
A free transcript of today's commentary is available through the Christian Research Institute International. Now, if you'd like more information on the defense of the Christian faith, how to solve alleged Bible difficulties, or how to witness the members of non-Christian cults, write the Christian Research Institute, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.
And welcome back to the Bible Instrument broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hanegraaff, President of the Christian Research Institute. We're delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today.
As always, invite you to tune in with your question right here on the Bud Lanchman broadcast by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. Before we go to our first caller up today, I do want to mention Knowing Scripture by R.C. Sproul. It is a book that will excite, encourage, and equip you to study the Scriptures effectively. It will help you tremendously in your study, not only during 1997, but for the rest of your life. There are certain principles that are part of the art and science of biblical interpretation, and when you master those principles, it helps everything come alive. It's insightfully written, and I think a must-read for our Christian listeners out there. Radio offer number 397, we would encourage you to call 1-888-7000-CRI to get a hold of it if you're using Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, or our regular line 714-858-6100. You can, of course, write for your copy, Post Office Box 7000, Rancho, Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. Of course, we have in studio today Joseph Dikach. He is Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, and Greg Albrecht, who is the Editor-in-Chief of Plain Truth Magazines. And what a delight to know that that magazine is now being used for the glory of God. The name has not changed, but the message is decidedly different, I might say, very edifying.
Thank you. And it's an appropriate name, you know, Plain Truth.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what people today need. They need the plain truth. They need the truth of the gospel. They don't need teachings which lead you away from. They need the central historic beliefs of Christianity, the plain truth. They need to know that that's essential.
Absolutely. Well, we have a lot of people that want to get through to you. Let me go to our first caller up today, Joanne in McAtee, California, KCBC. Hi, Joanne. You're on with Greg and with Joseph.
Hi. I would like to congratulate your guests because I know a little bit about the Worldwide Church of God. And am I on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My husband is in the Worldwide Church of God, except now he stayed with the old one, and they've changed their name to the United Church of God. And my question, I guess, is it's really hard for me to talk to him. We don't talk about religion. I'm a Christian. He went back to his church right when I became a Christian, which was 6 months ago. And I don't know how to cope with it, and I don't know how to witness to him.
Yeah.
It's just really hard.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure it's a question that you've dealt with rather frequently.
Yes, yes. And Joanne, I feel your pain. I have some relatives who are in the United group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say one of the things that I have found brings the comfort and peace that I need is prayer. I try to bathe myself, if you will, in prayer, and that gives me the peace that, as the scripture puts it, surpasses all understanding.
Right.
The in witnessing to him, I have a couple of suggestions.
Okay.
One of the difficulties that the group United Church of God faces is that they don't have an established position on doctrine, and what I mean by that is even in their ministry, they don't agree on some basic fundamentals. For example, some of the leading ministers are Trinitarian, but their church, people don't even know that. In fact, I know of one of their church leaders who observed Easter.
Mm-hmm. That must be why my husband keeps changing what he's telling me, what they believe. It changes constantly.
Well, the one who kept Easter didn't even tell that to his congregation, or I would imagine the majority of his fellow ministers don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a very divided group, and not at all living up to their name, being united. In witnessing to him, I think one of the things that would be most helpful is to get him to deal with the cognitive dissonance that he is probably unaware that he has. And let me give you a couple of illustrations of that.
Okay.
Ask him if he believes that God is immutable. And the answer, of course, is going to be yes. That is what Herbert Armstrong taught. And that is what Scripture says. But at the same time, he would tell you that he believes in two separate gods who are forever growing and learning. And that his eternity, when he receives his reward, will include becoming God, like God is God, but not completely congruent to God, because God is forever a step ahead of him in learning and growing.
And those two things are opposites. How can God be immutable, which means not changing,
mm-hmm.
and yet be learning and growing and changing at the same time? They're contradictory. Here's another one. You can look in one of the issues of their Good News magazine and find an article by Mario Segre, which explains that you should worship God the Father, not Jesus Christ. Yet they teach that if they emulate Jesus Christ, they're going to become God and be worshipped in the future. So why is it you can emulate Jesus and then become God and be worshipped, but you can't worship Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Their teachings are filled with cognitive dissonance and inherent contradictions. And when you continually face him with those, you're confronting him with the contradictions. You're forcing his thinking to resolve the contradictions. And that's what I think will be most effective in terms of reasoning with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Greg had a comment as well.
Joanne, this is Greg Albrecht.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, I also can hear very clearly the pain that you're going through. And it's not just a cute saying, but, you know, we humans can feel one another's pain, but only Jesus can heal our pain. And as you are a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, your profession of faith is that he holds all these things and knows all these things and will take care of all these things. So let me just comfort you with that thought, first of all, before I make a couple of comments in addition to what Joe made. One of the things I think that it's important for folks who are in the United Church of God and you deal with them, and I want to say up front that we love these people as brothers and sisters. They are friends of ours. They differ gigantically, of course, on doctrinal issues, and that's why they split from us and left us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things which I think that rationally would help in dealing with anyone, your husband or others, is the issue of other Christians. The teaching of the United Church of God and all of those folks who believe that Herbert Armstrong was essentially the one true apostle of God and there are no other teachings that are true and right is that their fellowship is exclusively the one true fellowship, the one true church, and there is no other true church. And I think as time permits you and allows you to explore that issue, whether it be with your husband in a rational and in a non-judgmental way, that's one of the issues that eventually brought down the house of cards for the Worldwide Church of God. We thought that because we kept the Sabbath, because we didn't
right.
eat pork, because we didn't eat shrimp, because we kept the festivals of the Old Covenant, because we did X, Y, and Z, 810 different true doctrines, therefore that made us the only true people of God. But, you know, when you rationally look around on the world at large and you see brothers and sisters of faith who 100,000 missionaries died last year because they believe in Jesus Christ and proclaim him, you have to deal with that. It kind of goes back to Joe's cognitive dissonance. So I would just offer that for you as you have time, and I wouldn't push that, but when you have a chance to discuss that with your husband, it's an issue that we all have to deal with. And Joanne, we'll be praying for you.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for calling, Joanne.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye. One of the things I truly commend both of you for, you do not have a cavalier attitude towards those members that are hurting. I know that you have been castigated by some as not caring, but I have seen the direct opposite firsthand, not only in public forums, but in private forums, and I appreciate that so much because one of the things that you want to do, obviously, is communicate that love and passion to as many of the people who've been involved in this organization as possible.
Oh, absolutely true, Hank. Yeah.
The love that that we feel from God is in our hearts and it flows out of us, and we want to extend that love to as many as we can.
Let's take another caller, Irene in Island Park, New York, listening to WMCA. Hi, Irene.
First of all, I wanted to say that I know about the Worldwide Church of God in Mr. Armstrong, and Constantine was really, he really changed my life around to something. It was horrible. I was spending thousands of dollars on doctors, medication. And then I heard him, and what you're saying here now, I never heard from him. Well, I saw him on TV, and I read his material, and, well, keeping God's Sabbath and his feast days are so wonderful, and they're powerful, and they mean something. And it's just so much better God's way. And
well, let's talk about that for a second.
I wanted to know how you guys did that.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because I don't think that either Joe or Greg would say that it is not wonderful to keep the feast days, but they would say that there is the next step that you can take, and that is not focusing in on the symbol, but recognizing that the symbol has been fulfilled through substance.
Exactly. The Worldwide Church of God continues to meet on those days that you're referring to. In fact, we took a survey of our entire fellowship, and 80% said they enjoy meeting on those days, and we haven't abandoned meeting on those days. So, to answer your question, that hasn't changed. What has changed is the substance. When we meet on those days, we're meeting because Christ is the substance. And these days were a shadow, a picture, a symbol of what was to come. And that's what we're celebrating when we meet together on those days. So, I don't understand what loss you feel. When Herbert Armstrong preached, there were many good things that he did preach. Certainly he preached that salvation comes through only one name, and that Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven by which we are saved. And he did preach against nominal Christianity. He preached that people should be committed Christians. So there are people who are in other fellowships, other denominations, who were, let's say, brought to Christ by his preaching, but didn't come to his church or his denomination. And we're glad that that happened. We're glad that people came to Christ through his preaching. But through his preaching, some people were brought to error. And the flaws in some of the things he taught were very hurtful to some people. And in some cases have hurt people to the extent that they still don't see the truth. What still don't see the truth?
What about medicine and the practical ramifications of teaching that medicine isn't really necessary?
Right. This is really one of those phenomenons that is amazing to me, how some people don't see the reality. Certainly a lot of people can waste their resources and their money going from one doctor to another and never be healed. I mean, we have an example of that in Scripture. But to go to the other extreme and teach that it's a sin to go to doctors.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Well, that was one of the strongest points in the Worldwide Church of God through the years. It was so strongly taught in the 50s and the 60s that most of our ministry wouldn't even anoint someone if they were going to a doctor. Now, the example of Herbert Armstrong himself was that he took 17 different medications in the last 10 years of his life.
Talk about cognitive.
Exactly. Now, and he even wrote that, in the last several years of his life, that he had two doctors making house calls visiting him in a time when you can hardly get a doctor to make a house call anymore. Mm. So,
do you teach Christmas and Easter? Do you teach those days?
We teach that those days are not an objectionable thing as long as Christ is the centerpiece. Because consider this, Irene. Would you agree with me that God can convert a pagan and make him a Christian?
Yes.
Well, then would he lose all his power? He can't convert a day and make it Christian?
You know what? I'm going to have to hold you right on that thought. That is a very significant point.
Mm-hmm.